So one more topic I want to get into, and I'll ask Matt to begin and kind of provide a brief overview, is NTRK, which incidentally, I can't find a lung cancer investigator who actually has a patient who's got it, but although, again, in that...
Yeah, my main comment to that, they're unicorns in our clinic, but not just in lung, but in others. I mean, what's exciting is that these are, you know, it's a tumor-agnostic approval, and we're seeing kind of in a number of tumor types, though more prominently in some of the pediatric tumors.
Jeff, anything else you want to say about NTRK? When we did this survey with colon, breast, and prostate, half of them had found an NTRK patient. You know, usually one, but very few. Jeff?
My colleague, Dr. Yanni, found one recently, so I agree unicorn is a good description. Entrectinib is a lung cancer drug for ROS, so it's rosentrectinib, right? It's a good ROS inhibitor, also CNS penetrant, and a TREK inhibitor, CNS penetrant. Lirotrectinib is the other drug that's available across cancer types. You know, I think that the interesting part about TREK is it's the signal that we need to start doing NGS more broadly beyond lung cancer, right? And so that's going to be TREK and like a little bit of RET. You can see RET and pancreas and then G12C. And like maybe there's some momentum now to start getting NGS done more broadly beyond lung cancer. Of course, there are NGS panels that are approved, foundations approved for advanced cancer. It's not always reimbursed though, but even that's starting to evolve. And so I think what we're looking for is an accumulated evidence base of targetable genomic alterations that make this kind of broad genomic profiling our standard for advanced cancer. Certainly, if you're a breast cancer doc and you're sending off NGS and all you get is negative, uninteresting results, it's hard to keep doing it, right? You need a certain critical mass of reports coming back interesting and meaningful to your patients that really sustain you to doing it on and on. We have that in lung cancer. I think it's starting to catch on in other cancer types. TREK's part of that.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So in terms of NTRK, though, I guess at this point, it's mainly entrectinib. Lirotrectinib, any difference between the two in terms of efficacy, tolerability, Justin?
Both of them look very good efficacy-wise. I think this actually highlights, you know, one of the core differences, though, and Matt was alluding to it, is the differences in CNS penetration. And I think this is an example of where we generally always think of good CNS penetration as a good thing. But when your therapeutic target of interest is expressed in the brain, it may not always be a good thing. And I think that ties into the differences in the two drugs. You know, entrectinib has better CNS penetration compared to lirotrectinib, but that also corresponds to, you know, more TREK on-target CNS-related adverse events. So dizziness, things like that, which are felt to be on-target, is one of the adverse events.
What are the types of NTRK mutations that are seen, and what are the implications?
So the nomenclature is confusing, but NTRK, the gene names are NTRK 1, 2, and 3, which corresponds to the proteins TRK A, B, and C. So the point about NTRK, we refer to it as unicorn. So, you know, there are two big groupings. There are the common cancers where NTRK is seen very uncommonly, you know, in lung cancer being the typical example. But then there are the ultra-rare tumors where NTRK is very common, you know, and those are like salivary gland tumors. So they fall into one of those two big buckets. And so there are slight variations in terms of the NTRK 1 through 3 in prevalence.
Yeah, but in terms of these three variations, are they picked up on NGS like Foundation 1, for example?
So typically all three TRKs are picked up in most commercial assays. But I think it speaks to the point of when you are ordering a test, especially if you have one go-to assay, most of the time they will list every single gene that they're covering. And I think you want to be careful in looking and making sure whether it's covered. And, you know, even within our in-house assay, it lists not only the gene, but also the exons that are being covered. And so if you ever have a question of whether you can pick something up, you want to look there.
Jeff?
Let's make it clear that NGS is imperfect for fusions, okay? Hybrid capture tumor NGS is not perfect for fusions, and it's probably unlikely that your local NGS is especially perfect. Liquid biopsy NGS is especially imperfect for fusions and especially bad at finding ALK-ROS-RET. And so if you have that, certainly that outlier, never smoker, younger patient, and your NGS is negative, there is another step to use. It's RNA sequencing, and the data is increasingly clear that RNA sequencing is our backup. I don't do it for everyone. I don't think it's sort of scalable for every single lung cancer patient. But for that patient where I just think there's something going on here, I do dig deeper, and I can find RET, ALK, ROS, TREK fusions, MET fusions that have been missed on conventional hybrid capture NGS.
Matt?
I think that's a really important point, and that's kind of how we're starting to view it, is we don't have that RNA-seq in-house for a scalable kind of approach, but for that patient where you know there's something, to have that stepped approach where you can send it to an outside RNA-seq approach diagnostic, you might have better yield. We caught our patient on our in-house test, but we are very cognizant of the fact that it is not perfect for fusions, and we're probably missing patients. And certainly in our advocacy, I hope that we're kind of pushing for reimbursement or some kind of algorithm where we might be able to do that stepwise approach for appropriately selected patients eventually.